What's going on, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's July 15th, 2024, episode 400 of the Tan and J Man Show. 400 straight weeks. J Man, we have sat beside each other, across from each other, on the same screen from different states, and talked just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. There was even a stretch where, during COVID, where I had no video, and I could just had to call in, and all your voice.
I forgot. I remember doing it remotely for you a month and a half.
Yeah.
You know, right when the pandemic was hot and heavy, but I forgot audio only. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting time.
That was, we had to get kind of creative.
Yeah.
During that time, which sometimes is difficult for you and me to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But tonight's going to be a fun one.
That's probably not a great thing to admit coming from a marketing manager, but yeah.
Hey, I said with this podcast, I didn't say with my everyday job.
That's fair.
But yes, it we are excited for tonight's show. It's going to be a different format. It is Ask Tan and J Man night. It's a full hour of Q&As. We will still have Birdie or Bogey and J Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. But we are not going to have the On This Day or the Pick Six. But the On This Day is brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts, like it has been all year. And the Pick Six is brought to you by every week, like it has been all year. Performer Print 2 Promo Group. We'll have those segments back in next week, episode 401. But so hit me with that trivia question tonight, J-Man.
Straightforward trivia question. What player has the most yards from scrimmage in a single season in NFL history?
All right.
Yeah. What player, most yards from scrimmage in a single season in NFL history? So, Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, they had an 8-ounce filet paired with a fried lobster tail, baked potato, and garlic butter broccolini. So that is just a look into their specials. It's also pizza night. They have margarita. They got dill pickle. They have all sorts of stuff here. And there's new summer menu, sticky ribs, fried mac and cheese burger, rattlesnake bites, strawberry balsamic salmon. Go in to Arlington Public House today to get fantastic cuisine in a small town.
Yes, sir. Couldn't say better myself.
Yep. Your veggies, I miss that.
Yeah, it's that's a favorite moment of mine. That's a favorite line of mine over the years, which we'll get into that later. There's a question that was sent in later, asking us something similar to that. But first off, thank you everybody who's sent in questions ever since. Last Thursday, I believe, is when I posted the video out there asking for questions, posted the post. So thank you, everybody, who sent those in. We have a lot, so we need to get right to it tonight. J-Man, what category do you want to start with? We have MLB, we have NFL, we have NBA, we have college, and we have miscellaneous.
Let's go MLB.
That's MLB.
My area of expertise.
All righty. Well, we will start off with one from your mother, Cindy Munch. She sent this one in. How would you rearrange the Cubs starting lineup?
Honestly, I think the Cubs starting lineup is rearranged as well as it can be with the personnel they currently have, especially with Cody Bellinger on the injured list. If Belly was back or Mike Tauchman even, I would probably keep Tauchman on the bench, let PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong kind of take his lumps at the bat. I mean, he's one of maybe the best defensive center fielder in the league already, but he has struggled with the stick. But yesterday he hit two homers. He walked, so it was a good day for him. But the only thing I might change, if Belly comes back, maybe have Belly hit leadoff. He's had a really hard time.
Calling him Belly like he's your buddy.
Yeah, I'd lead him off. He's, especially with how little he's been able to drive the ball. And he's still getting on base at a decent clip. Nico Horner has kind of filled in at the leadoff spot, and he's never going to be a high on base guy. makes a ton of contact. He's starting to heat up a little bit. I think he has a 10-game hitting streak. I think the lineup's constructed about as well as it can be. But this question also kind of made me think, you know, I'm going to put together an all-time Cubs lineup since I've been, like, watching them. Since I will say maybe 98. I was 6 years old in 98. So starting with the catcher position, I have Wilson Contreras. Not a whole lot to choose from, honestly. I mean, they had, you know, back in the day, they signed Todd Hundley to a big deal, and he was a disaster. They had Damian Miller and Paul Bacco. They were both bad. Michael Barrett and Wilson Contreras had some similarities as far as good offensive catchers, weren't great defensively, and they kind of got in fights in the clubhouse. I ended up just choosing Wilson Contreras just because, you know, he was
Giovanni Soto. Would he have been? So,
he was under consideration, but he really only had 2 good years. One of them, he was a rookie of the year. But other than that, he was kind of mediocre best, honestly. Wilson's been their best offensive catcher in a long, long time. And he brought some fire that I'm sure ticked a lot of people off, especially opposing teams. And I am now a victim of that now that he's with the St. Louis Cardinals. But catcher Wilson Contreras, moving on to first base. This was the most difficult decision out of any of them. It was between Anthony Rizzo and Derek Lee, probably my top two favorites ever since I've been watching them. And I gave the nod to Anthony Rizzo. He's the captain, and he was a great offensive first baseman for a good 5-6 year stretch, elite defensively. He kind of put the team on his back, especially in 2014. He tried to fight the entire Reds dugout, and that kind of changed the narrative around the Cubs, and they started winning after that. I do have Derek Lee in my DH spot. He had the best season out of any player a Cubs player has had since Sosa, and that was in 2005 when he hit .335, 46 homers. He was awesome. Second base, Ben Zobrist. Shortstop, Javi Baez. Third base, I'm giving the nod to Aramis Ramirez. He was clutch. Just a great hitter. Now, I do have Chris Bryant in here as my left fielder, so he played a lot of left field too. So he's my left fielder. Dexter Fowler's my center fielder. Sammy Sosa, my right fielder.
You're going to make some people mad with your center field choice.
I know. Corey Patterson was there for the taking. unfortunately, he blew out his knee in 2003 and was never the same after that. Other than that, though, there hasn't been really a center fielder that I look at and like, man, that guy could really challenge Dexter Fowler. Kenny Lofton had a good half season, but other than that, no, he wasn't all that great. Right field, Sammy Sosa. My starting pitcher is John Lester. My reliever, Aroldis Chapman. That team's good enough to win World Series, I tell you what.
I'm putting you on the spot here, and we're not trying to take up too much more time with this, but putting you on the spot, 4 more starting pitchers.
Jake Arrieta, his 2015 was ridiculous. I'm putting the professor Kyle Hendricks on there. His 2016 was ridiculous, and he, outside of the past, really he had two bad years and then a half bad year so far this year. He was great. Carlos Zambrano is going to be on there. He was Mr. Consistent. And then I might give the nod, recency bias, but to Justin Steele. He has an ERA of about 2.8. over his last like 400 innings. He has been ridiculous.
No Kerry Wood.
No, Wood's probably maybe the most overrated player in Cubs history. He had the 20 strikeout game, of course. Couldn't stay healthy. And he was good, but he wasn't elite. If Mark Pryor could have been a different story, you know, with his injury history. But that's my all-time Cubs lineup.
Very good stuff. We'll stick with the Cubs. There's another Cubs question here from Carter Screeton, big Cubs fan himself. He says, congrats, guys. Question for J-Man. If the Cubs continue this little hot streak and become buyers, big if I know, who would you like to see them go get for a stretch run?
They need a middle-of-the-order bat for sure. They've struggled in the power department. So I make a call to the Toronto Blue Jays, Vlad Jr. under control for the next 2 years maybe. They need controllable young talent, especially offensively. Vlad would be the guy. I mean, you could stick him at third base. Their defensive third base has been horrendous anyway, so he's not going to be a downgrade for what they've got there. But he would provide young, 25 years old, an actual guy who is marketable that they don't really have right now. So Vlad, and then Tanner Scott, who I know you probably like his first name.
Great name.
He's a lefty closer for the, I almost said Florida Marlins. They haven't been Florida Marlins since 2011, 2012.
I probably wouldn't even bat an eye there. Like I do Cleveland though. So,
yeah. He's having a great year. ERA of about 1.5. It's under 1.5, but his underlying data isn't great as far as walks to strikeouts, to innings pitched. So he's kind of a luckier Hector Neris, but they need some help in that bullpen.
Two more baseball questions here, both from a friend of ours. He's been a loyal listener to the show since we began. He's a fellow Rochester High School 2010 graduate. That's Trent Jameson. Yes, is Paul Skeens a bigger hype? Does he have bigger hype than Strasburg or Harper, or is it just recency bias? I remember them being huge coming into the big leagues.
I think Skeens is better, and he matches both the hype with talent and production. So far, I mean, he's starting the All-Star game. He's only made, 10 starts?
Right.
That's an interesting comparison, though, because Strasburg and Harper felt like they, especially Harper, they had, otherworldly hype surrounding their debuts. I remember Harper's first career hit was in Dodger Stadium. He's a guy that's never played with the Cubs, and I remember his first career hit was a double off the wall and his helmet came flying off. Those guys had insane hype. Skeens did too, as well. But it just felt like Strasburg and Harper had more hype, but I think Skeens is better than both of them.
No, I gotta agree. He also said throw Mike Trout in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Strasburg having some hype coming out of San Diego State, but nothing like Bryce Harper. Yeah. Bryce Harper was on in Sports Illustrated at the age of 14 as the up and comers. And there was legendary stories of him hitting home runs in Tropicana with metal bats and things like that. So, but Skeens has been fun and he's brought some attention to Pittsburgh, a franchise that could really use it.
Yeah, it really stinks.
last baseball question here. Or excuse me, we have one more after this one. Sorry. Trent Jameson, though, last one for him. He said, why do the Twins never beat the Yankees? One of the worst win percentages in sports against a single team. Twins are usually decent, but when they play big ball teams like the Yankees, they just don't show up. Make that any Minnesota team.
It's almost psychological at this point.
That's 100%. I agree.
Yeah, because, yep. I mean, baseball is such a crapshoot, but, the Yankees had a 20 game win streak over them or something like that. It was stupid. And maybe not a 20 game win streak, but they won 20 of 25. And they always, it feels like, sweep them in the playoffs whenever they're matched up. I think it's more psychological.
Well, when we go back a handful of years ago, they, in that wild card game, Twins got up 3-0 early. Mm-hmm. And then Didi Gregorius hit a big old home run, got the place shaking, and Yankees took over from there. And it was nothing. So, because everybody's this is finally the year the Twins are going to knock the Yankees out of the playoffs. But I think it's all mental. I think it's between the years. They're all professional baseball players for a reason. So, it's just sometimes a team has another team's number. In my fandom, in my life, it's Wisconsin football against Purdue football.
I might never
see the day.
And it's not like, the Yankees might have had more talent, but, the Arizona Diamondbacks went to the World Series last year. So,
Right.
It's just a crapshoot, and there's some luck involved as well. And baseball, it's a huge mental game.
Yep. Last baseball one here. Really good one. I like this one. This comes from your mother. Once again, Cindy Munt. What would your walk-up song be if you were in the MLB?
Black Dog Led Zeppelin. I've had that for years in my head.
I was gonna say that came off so quickly. You've thought about that a time or two.
I have.
I took some time to think about this today. There's a lot of good ones I thought of, but the one, I don't even like this artist either. That's the thing. All of the Lights by Kanye West.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Always liked that song. Always gets me pumped up. Always reminds me of sports highlight reels and things. But other ones I was thinking Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne, a lot of the old school rock bands, AC/DC stuff. I even was looking at a song by Alter Bridge. I don't know. There was a lot, but if I have to pick one, I'm going with All the Lights by Kanye West.
That's a good one. I know Kanye was a real popular one, 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, sure. Sure. And like I said, I'm not a fan of his, but I do like that song. So what category are we doing next?
It's up to you this time.
Let's do NBA. Okay. NBA next. And these were all submitted by my friend Daryl Love. All the NBA questions were.
Beautiful.
So first off, is Bronny James ready?
I don't think he's ready to play at a mid-major, let alone in the NBA. Did you see what Doug Gottlieb said?
No.
You can imagine what he said, but he said Bronny wouldn't even start for Wisconsin Green Bay right now.
I don't believe a single word he says right there, because yes, he would for publicity. Absolutely.
That's a good point. No, he's not. I mean, he shot 0-of-12 from three in the summer league, and he got cooked defensively. He's not ready. And, I don't blame him, honestly, for any of this. He should still be in college. But he has some influence behind his decision that was not entirely his.
I still think he could have been a decent college player given time to develop. But, yeah, no, he's nowhere ready for the G League, let alone the NBA.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Darryl also asks, will the Celtics repeat as champions next season?
It's so hard to repeat in any sport. I mean, we've talked about that besides the Chiefs and the Patriots. But, I'm going to say no, which will actually lead me to our next question.
Yeah, I'm going to say no as well. I think they'll be in the mix. I've stated that on the podcast the last few weeks. I think they're going to be in mix next 6, 7, 8 years every year. But he also asked, are the Knicks going to the finals next year?
Yes. The Villanova Knicks are going to the finals.
We don't want to live in that world of social media, man.
I know. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, whatever his name is, and McCall. They trade for Mikal Bridges, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Tibbs might finally get a team there. It's taken a while, but they were good enough to do it this year, and they had so many, nagging injuries, and they couldn't get it done against the Pacers. But I think the Knicks are going to actually go, which would be miserable again for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be on the conversation. It sounds crazy. I think you throw the Pacers in the conversation. Assuming some of their younger guys take the next step forward. I think the Bucks, if they stay healthy, they're still in the conversation in the East. Other than that,
yeah. Teams that need to rebuild, like I think Miami is reaching a decision moment. They're getting a little older. Maybe have one more go around if they could somehow acquire like a Damian Lillard. But again, we've talked about him, and we think he's a guy that's never going to win, regardless of who's surrounding him. It's definitely the East is now weaker again than the West is.
Yep, 100%. Daryl also asks, chances the Mavericks go back to the finals with the addition of Klay Thompson?
I mean, they went without him, so I think adding him's not going to hurt. He sure seems washed, though. I actually just saw a video of him today playing just like pickup games, and he couldn't create separation against non-NBA players, which could be an issue come NBA season. Sure. Can still shoot the heck out of it, though.
No, I think Mavericks will be good. I think they'll be a top 4 or 5-ish, just like this year, like they were in the West, top 4 or 5 seed. But you got some other good teams there. Timberwolves should be good. Mm-hmm. Thunder should be good again. I still think the Nuggets will be good, even though their window's starting to close a little bit, as crazy as that sounds. I think the Mavericks will be in the mix, but it's hard to get back there.
To get back there. And they had a lot go their way this past season in the playoffs, especially. I mean, for one, Minnesota knocking off Denver helped their case as well.
Right. Yeah, because I don't think they would have beat Denver in that 7-game series. But and lastly, who is Team USA's biggest threat to getting a gold medal?
I'm going Team Canada. They have SGA, Murray, Lou Dort, bunch of other NBA guys. Canada's becoming a really good basketball country. Yep.
Besides Canada, others, I mean, I don't, for the record, I don't think anybody's going to beat Team USA. But for the record, we also have France will be up there, Germany, Serbia, mainly because of the Joker. And what was the other country that I was looking up today? Yeah, can't think of it.
They played it's just a friendly against Australia, but they only won by 6. today, I think it was. But again, exhibition games mean nothing. But
Pat Mooney with an NBA question. Giannis Antetokounmpo versus Bronny, first to 21, who wins?
Oh, man, that'd take forever. oh, man, they're both only in there because of who, you know, they're related to.
Right.
Essentially. Right. Bronny was a much higher thought of recruit coming out of high school or Greece, if you will, than Giannis's brother. So I'm going to go Bronny just for the fact that, I don't know, of who his dad is.
I'll take Antetokounmpo just to be different. So. Yeah. But I would not watch that.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. That'd kind of be like Phil versus Tiger.
Yep. Yep. next category, your pick.
NFL.
All right. We had a lot from Daryl Love once again and one from your mother. So we'll kind of mix and match here. Daryl, he likes these repeating questions. Will the Chiefs repeat as Super Bowl champs?
This be a three-peat?
Yes. They beat the Eagles. Beat the Niners.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
What are you trying to do to me? Chiefs and the Knicks? Both?
Who beats them in the AFC, though? You're going to have to hope
if
either.
Somebody can get home field advantage somehow.
Well, we saw that this past year, and that meant nothing.
I know.
The Bills, I mean, this is another question on here without Stephon Diggs. Joe Burrow coming off a injury, another injury. Who knows if – I mean, the Dolphins, I mean, they've collapsed in December the past 10 years. The Jets, I would root for the Chiefs every single day over Aaron Rodgers. Houston, who's beating them?
No, you make good points. I do think their division's getting tougher, but I still don't see anybody uncrowning them in the division yet.
Has it gotten tougher, though? I think the Raiders will stink. Broncos are going to start a rookie quarterback.
I hope. I hope they start a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I do think that Chargers don't have anybody to throw the ball to, but they'll be better with Harbaugh. But, you're kind of – I don't know. Maybe it's going to have to be somebody in the AFC North, I guess. Or the Dolphins.
Or
the Bills. Because he also asked Bills without Diggs. I still think they'll be in the mix, but that definitely hurts.
At the same time, I think Josh Allen proves how good he actually is without. I mean, I know they drafted Keon Coleman, and maybe he'll be a star right away.
Going back to the Chiefs question, I don't wish injury upon anybody, but they're due for one of their key players to get on offense to get hurt.
They are.
They've stayed pretty healthy the last
couple of seasons. Yeah, Mahomes dislocated his knee or did something a few years ago.
Was it six games or just one?
I thought he was out a few because Matt Moore started a handful. Yeah. I think they were helped that it was a Thursday nighter and then they had a bye week, and so he might only miss two or three. Kelce has stayed remarkably healthy. They have Hollywood Brown now. I mean, really, they didn't really feel – they just got to stay out of prison, all these guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've had an eventful offseason.
They have.
But he also is wondering, will the Lions have another great year?
I think they win the division again. Packers are going to be a should be good. I think Minnesota will take a significant step back.
Hey, man, Twitter's telling me the Bears are ready for the Super Bowl, playoff Super Bowl.
The Chicago media up here in the southwest suburbs are also telling me that, which is just asinine.
Yeah, it's like pump the brakes a little bit, guys. Yeah, you look approved on paper, no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt, but.
And, I mean, we could have another Texans scenario where, you know, they're really good and win a playoff game and all of that. Did they win a playoff game?
They beat the Browns.
That's right.
Back to Browns. Yep.
That's right. So they could be much improved, but to say they're even going to compete for the division crown is a little too soon for me. Maybe next year.
Yeah, we'll get back to Daryl's questions, but let's switch it up and get to one of your mom's questions here. What is your favorite NFL play of all time?
Dolphins haven't had a great recent history. I don't want to go back to, you know, all the – the hook and ladder back in 1982, 1983, or Marino throwing the ball off of Bears' helmet right to whoever caught it and ran in for a touchdown, because that's just too long ago. So I was thinking in kind of my lifetime, I'm thinking either the Miami Miracle, which was spoiled by my dad because I was watching online and he texted me and he was always a play ahead of me. And so I saw it before, but another one that comes to mind, Thursday night against Cincinnati, Cam Wyke, walk-off sack in overtime.
I remember watching cool that
for
game.
Safety.
Yep.
So those are kind of my two.
Mine's got to be Von Miller's strip sack of Cam Newton, Super Bowl 50, and then Malik Jackson dives on it for touchdown. That was on one of the first series of the game, and Broncos got out of the gate and ended up winning Super Bowl 50. That one's pretty easy. But other than that, also Bronco related, the first game I was ever a Broncos fan of, Kyle Orton throws up a Hail Mary type pass on the left sidelines, and should have been picked. It was tipped around, and Brandon Stokely caught it, ran all the way with Gus Johnson on the call.
I remember that.
And yeah. I remember running around the house being all pumped up for that. And the Broncos got up to 6-0 start that year, but then finished 2-8 the rest of the way. And missed the playoffs, but that was pretty cool. Non-Broncos related, I got to say Devin Hester's kickoff return touchdown to open up Super Bowl 41.
That was cool.
That was really cool.
You were a Bears fan then.
I was. And even if I wasn't, that was just pretty darn cool. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the new kickoff rules, because I haven't really studied them at all. I'm just waiting for preseason to start to really understand them. If that will help, but who knows?
Yeah. I mean, of course, we'll see kick return start games again, or kick return touchdown start games, but maybe even a playoff game. But I just don't think we'll ever see one in the Super Bowl again. That was crazy. Crazy. Bears couldn't get it done, though. Couldn't get it done.
Jacoby Jones, rest in peace. He passed away yesterday.
I saw this coming from a mile away.
He was involved in maybe one of my favorite non-Dolphins.
Saw that coming from a mile away. Right in my head, I'm like, Josh is going to mention something about Jacoby Jones passing away and throwing the Flacco bomb or the Fail Mary, as Denver fans call it, or Raheem Moore, Tony Carter, you two jackalopes. Just bat the ball down. That's all you had to do. That was Peyton Manning's best Bronco team. Yep. I will die on that hill. 2012, his first year was
that. That was a good one. Team. Yeah.
And they started off terribly, but then just got red hot. So back to some of Daryl's questions here. Are the Texans ready to win now? And as far as win, I mean, they just won the division. I think he's saying win the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're ready. CJ Stroud could be a MVP candidate. I know he'll probably be talked about quite a bit as an MVP candidate coming into the year. But, they got weapons around him. That defense has improved. D'Amico Ryans is going to has done already an unbelievable job there. And I think they're ready for that next step. They play in a bad division, which helps them out significantly. So,
yep. And a lot of people forget they managed injuries pretty well last year. They had some key guys go down. They just kept winning without them. Tank Dell went down. They lost another wide receiver at one point. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, went down. So they did a good job with the next man up mentality. Mm-hmm. And last one for the NFL. Daryl wants our early NFL season MVP predictions.
I mentioned CJ Stroud. I was trying to be different because I could have easily said Patrick Mahomes again. Could have done the homer pick and say Tyreek Hill to a Tua Tagovailoa. Refused to say Aaron Rodgers or
Trevor
Josh
Lawrence. No, I'm just kidding.
he'll probably look like an MVP week one. So I'm going CJ Stroud just cause I mentioned him.
I'm going to go a quarterback as well. I'm going to go Jordan Love.
Oh,
we're all just going to hate it because here the Packers go again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping he takes a step back. That's what I'm hoping.
I think he's pretty, I mean, it was crazy the step forward he took last year because, about halfway through the season, at least quarterway through the season, they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to work. And then something clicked and all of a sudden, bang, became really good again. Really good. Not again. Really good. So, yep. It looks like that's all of our NFL specific questions. We did just get a question from my father. This is more of a comedic question, in my opinion, to you and me. He said, Tanner and J-Man Show Nation fans want to know if both of you will go back to wearing earrings.
Ouch. I'm usually not one to fall into peer pressure, but Tanner pressured me into spending $60 I didn't have.
Was it really that much money? That's embarrassing that it was that much money.
I think it was at a Claire's kiosk at the West Lafayette Mall.
Mall.
2011. I had not turned 19 yet. It was right before my 19th birthday.
Yep.
And I still have the holes in my ears to prove it. I wore them till about 2013. I wore them about 2 years. We were really cool.
Yeah, I think I stopped wearing them summer of 13, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I haven't looked in a while. One of my ear holes, I can't believe we're talking about this on a podcast. One of my ear holes is closed. I don't know which one. The other one is not.
Well, I remember it was your 26th birthday. We went to the Dam Landing and we were with some friends, and one of our friends' wives put her earring through your hole, and it still
I do remember that.
It still fit. You had a nice hoop earring the rest of the night.
Can never pull off the hoops. Nope. Nope. Not a hoop guy. Next category, J-Man, do you want college or miscellaneous?
Let's do miscellaneous.
We got a lot more into miscellaneous than we do college.
So. All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with this one that I also just got from Thad Mooney, friend of the show and sponsor of the On This Day through Mooney Woodcrafts. He said, totally forgot I dropped questions before and have you break them down. He said, this is a bet. Since you each say what can happen first, Sonics come back or Rory wins a major. And winner gets to choose a nice challenge for the loser to post to the page for the show, since you haven't done one in a while.
This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. The Open. The British Open. They call it the Open?
They call it the Open. I'm always going to call it the British Open. The
British Open is the Open. Is this weekend. Yep. And Rory will win a major before the Seattle Sonics come back. It's going to be this weekend. You can take it to the bank. Book it.
I tried for you last month at the
you almost got it.
U.S. Open. He should have had it. And he didn't.
Yeah. The J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week is brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watchring for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchring@infb.com.
I am taking Victor Hovland to win his first major this week. Got a couple comments here on Facebook. One from your wife, J-Man. Saying that my wife and her probably have some earrings to borrow if we both want them.
Of course, the one show my wife watches has to be this one.
And another relative of yours, wife's uncle, what kind of sports show is this?
He doesn't want to know.
I'm just surprised he didn't say anything about the Cardinals.
Cubs and Cardinals split this weekend, so there's no bragging rights this past weekend, but he'll have more chances for bragging rights. I think they play early August.
Do the Dolphins and Niners play this year?
They do, right before Christmas, too.
Boy.
That's the worst part. 3 days before Christmas, and I'm sure I'll see him the next day or two after that. So that'll be it's in Miami, so maybe Dolphins have a chance.
That could be a Super Bowl preview.
That would be miserable. That would be miserable for both of us.
All right, let's get these miscellaneous questions here. This first one's from your father, Dan the Man Munt. With the recent interest in women's basketball, college and pro, will it grow steadily over the next 5 years, or will it fall off and return to pre-Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese days?
I think it will continue to grow. These two ladies have grown the sport more than, or especially Caitlin Clark, has grown the sport more than any athlete in recent memory for any sport, in my opinion. It's just one of those things. They have this sort of rivalry that the media hypes up more than anything. I mean, Caitlin Clark is the first rookie to ever have a triple double. Rangel Reese had like 15 straight double doubles. She was stat padding a little bit, but, I think it will continue to grow. And, girls are going to, want to be the next Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese.
Yeah. That I'm glad you brought up that point, because I mean, attendance numbers are up. You see little girls all over the place at these games now. They're going to have their dads, you know, take them to games. And I've heard more people watching the WNBA, and I've had conversations with people about the WNBA that had never tuned in before. Have I tuned in more this year? I got to be honest, I haven't.
I haven't. You're part of the problem, Tanner.
I'm not part of the solution, I guess. I just kind of take a break from a lot of sports this time of year. I am so invested in football, both college and pro, and then college basketball that I just, my body needs a break. And being a Ricky Fowler fan is tough these days. So,
yeah, I have a real hard time watching basketball in the middle of July, honestly. Yeah. Like I probably won't watch any of the Olympics basketball just because I can't handle it. It's like watching football in the middle of May or something.
Yeah. Facebook, write in question from your wife. If you could pick a sport for your daughter to play, what would it be?
I would like her to play a ball sport, like softball, basketball, football. I don't care. Golf, even. Like women's golf is about the most unused scholarship there is.
Correct.
So that'd be pretty awesome. Whatever she wants to do, though, I'd be very happy and support her either way. But I will be very upset if she's not a Division I softball player.
Yeah, I was going to say golf's a good one. And you hit on my point exactly, the scholarship thing. So
I think I even learned that from your dad. I think I'm stealing his line.
I've heard him say that multiple times. He's told me if he has a granddaughter, that he's going to try to get her introduced to golf pretty quickly.
So. I've got to introduce myself to golf first before I can introduce her.
Yeah, tennis would be a good one.
Tennis would be fun. Yeah.
Tennis, swimming. I don't know a lot about competitive swimming.
Yeah, my wife Megan was a very competitive swimmer back in high school and middle school. There you go. So she knows that one very well.
Really all girls sports, I think. I can't think of one I would say I wouldn't want my daughter to play, I guess.
Yes.
Son, I could think of some I would try to keep them away.
I'll be honest. I'm steering. I do not want to go to track meets or cross country. I'll be honest.
Cross countries are brutal. I mean, I ran in sixth grade. It's a weird sport because you cannot see your kid run most of the time. You got to kind of pick different spots throughout the course and station.
I'm not running with them. I tell you that much.
I'll never forget my dad telling me to like hustle up and stuff. And I'm saying, you get out here and run as I'm cramping up all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Also from your dad here, and it also goes with the WNBA, with an increase in viewership, should the WNBA start offering NBA type contracts or should they wait to see if the interest continues?
The WNBA has never made any money. So, and the NBA has kind of helped them stay afloat through all these years. Contracts should absolutely increase, and I assume they will. But honestly, I don't think any league is touching what the NBA does now. You're seeing middle of the road guys making 100+ million on 5-year deals, you know.
Well, the WNBA is going to get a big TV rights deal first.
They will, yeah.
They get that, then the contracts will go up. I mean, look at, we were talking about last week, this new NBA one's $76 billion.
I know.
So the contracts are just going to get unbelievable, more so than they already are.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Let's go with one your mom sent in here. If you could hang out with any sports figure for a day in your time or theirs, who would it be, when, and why?
I got two of them, I should say. One's Babe Ruth. I think just hanging out with him, he was the most famous guy in America back in, you know, the 20s and 30s. And just during his playing days, just being able to watch him, then hang out with him afterwards, he was a larger-than-life figure. The other guy that I think would be an absolute blast to hang out with, I'm not a golfer, but John Daly. I think he would be an absolute blast, hammering Diet Cokes, some brewskis, smoking some cigs. Just having a good old time with John Daly.
Yeah, John Daly lived life to the fullest. He enjoys himself, that's for sure. Those are really good ones. I think hanging out with Arnold Palmer in his older stage would have been pretty cool. While he was still playing golf, but older, not so much his PGA Tour playing days. He just seemed like such a nice guy. You hear so many cool stories about him, about, you know, handwriting letters back to fans all the time. Like anything he got, he returned. Nobody in the world of golf has anything bad to say about Arnold Palmer. Being around Jordan and Tiger would have been pretty unreal during their stardom. I mean, I know Tiger's still competing. Don't really know why, but he's still competing this week. We'll see if he makes a cut or not. But those guys were larger than life. Muhammad Ali back in the day would be cool. Current athletes, of course, I'd like to hang out with Ricky Fowler. Followed him since he was at Oklahoma State. So I think that would be cool. But well, that was a question I hadn't really thought of. So
that
was a really good question.
Speaking of Arnold Palmer, back when they used to make This Is Sports Center commercials, that was one of the top five they made.
That was a good one.
Going up to the lemonade, then the tea, then the lemonade. And I forget who was it. Was it Stuart
Scott? Scott Van Pelt and Stuart Scott. One of them was like, awesome. That was awesome. I know. That was a good one. And one of my favorite all time is Jason Hayward when he's on the Braves talking about how they make a bat in the Stanford Cardinal. The tree mascot faints in the background.
Yeah. And there's another one that popped into my head when they're about to get on an elevator, and it was the New Jersey Devils mascot. And they go, going up. And he goes, nope. And they're like, we're good.
Yeah, those were really good ones.
Yeah,
they had. I mean, Ricky Fowler was in one wearing all orange, and he's trying to drink something. He spits it out, and it had an orange handle. I think it was like coffee or something. And then it was. Oh, I know what it was. It was he was putting orange juice in his cereal, thinking it was milk, and he eats it and he spits it out. And they're like, Ricky, are you colorblind? I'm not colorblind. and orange. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I miss those commercials.
Me too.
They just don't have the personalities anymore at ESPN. Yeah. Got rid of everybody. Let's see here. Aaron Lynch with a write-in question. Of your favorite teams, what team and year/season was the most frustrating to be a fan of and why?
That's a good one. A very good one. I would say the most frustrating year for me personally to be a fan was probably the Chicago Cubs 2019, because they're still, you know, good, and they make a trade for Nick Castellanos at the deadline, and they just fell flat on their face. Last year was bad too, but that team wasn't supposed to be very good, and they were halfway decent. It just felt like the beginning of the end for the core, if you will, just 3 years removed from World Series and felt so much further than that.
Yeah, I had to really think about this one. I've had a lot of frustrating years, or fan years over the years, but I think kind of got to go recency bias just a couple years ago. I think it was the 2022 Broncos season. You know, for years, Broncos, we're just quarterback away. Go and mortgage some of the franchise to get Russell Wilson, signed a big deal. Everybody's saying playoffs. They might even win the division, some people were saying. And they were absolutely horrific. And Nathaniel Hackett gets fired before he can even complete his first year. And they've kind of become a walking meme and GIF ever since. They just can't get it out of their own way. So,
2006 Dolphins as well. Chose Culpepper over Breeze. Enough said.
Yeah, that's a good one. Going back to a question from your mom, what would your pregame meal be?
I don't want to eat like real heavy on game day, cause you just feel like trash.
No Michael Scott, you're not going with a little plate of Alfredo before you're running.
Fettuccine Alfredo, carbo load. No, probably something lighter. My mom used to bring me like Subway or ham and Gouda panini from Subway, Giretti's, who, has the same owner as Arlington Public House. So something like that. Maybe a grilled chicken sandwich, with some Kettle Coke chips. That sounds pretty good right about now. Honestly.
I could go with grilled chicken and some rice. Maybe I'm a big rice fan, so something like that. Or a cold sub from a sub place. I'm not naming any of them because there's no free ads on the show. So I'm not naming any of them. something like that. But it is sad. The first thing that came to my mind right away was, man, chicken parmesan sure sound good before game. And then like, that would also be a little heavy and acidic, would give you acid reflux during the game.
I'd start taking off running and then instantly start coming up.
Except back before my basketball days before games in middle school and freshman in high school, I would eat from a national sub place that I'm not going to name, no free ads. I'd have meatball subs. Couldn't do that anymore. No way.
No shot.
No way. Back to a question your dad sent in. Of all the sports championships, pro and college, what would make you most happy to see your team win? Super Bowl, World Series, National Championships, football or basketball, and why?
I've thought about this a lot, honestly, even before he sent it in. You know, I saw the Cubs win a World Series, and it's crazy feeling, like unbelievable, almost surreal. And I obviously hope it happens again. I was 9 years old the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game, and I can't even fathom them winning a Super Bowl. So I'm choosing Illinois basketball.
Figure that's where you're going.
They've come close a few times over the past, 24 years. Obviously, they lost the national title game by 5, a couple Elite Eights. For years, they've probably been my second favorite of all my sports teams would be the Cubs, and they're honestly getting close to number one, being 1A, 1B with the Cubs. I just think it would be an incredible feeling, especially now, last time they were in a national title game, I was 13 years old, and now that I'm, in my 30s, it'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I almost got to taste it. I tasted getting there, so, it makes you definitely want more. So I definitely got to go a Purdue championship, and I've always said I don't care which one, and I really don't. But if I had to choose one over the other, and a lot of Purdue fans are going to say I'm crazy, I would choose football of how hard it is to do.
That's fair.
Especially now with the playoff system of football. I feel like if you win it all, you are definitely the best team.
No, for sure.
Beforehand, okay, if you made the BCS championship, you had a heck of a year. Still one game, anything can happen. Or the 4-team playoff, same thing. Maybe you get lucky a game or two. Usually you wouldn't get lucky 2 games in a row against those other quality teams. But now it's with a 12-team and soon to be a 14-team playoff in a couple of years. Yeah, it's so hard to do. Not that basketball is not hard to do, but look at the Final Four run NC State had this year. You know exactly. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you just got to get hot at the right time. Football, you got to be the best.
Yeah. You got to be really, really good. Even in like any level, really, you got to be the best of the best. Because the NFL, you rarely see a team. I mean, I know we saw some wild card teams, like both times the Giants won. I think they were a wild card team or just a 10-6 team. That doesn't happen very often. So.
Yep. Last one for your dad here in miscellaneous. When are we going to have your dad and my dad on for a father and son show?
It's a really good idea. We should do this.
That is a good idea. That is a really good idea. I like that. And we'll have to make that happen.
Yeah.
We'll have to make that happen. And speaking of that, this kind of runs in with this question from Daryl Love. He has back-to-back questions here. Best memories from the show, and how does it feel to reach 400 episodes, and any upcoming changes to the show? I kind of put 3 into 1 there.
Best memories. I think I was thinking about that a lot today. And, obviously starting on ISC Sports Network was probably our top.
March of 2019.
The late Brian Hooker's 2 appearances were always fun. He liked to make fun of me getting picked off 2nd in a sectional game. 400 episodes. It was pretty wild. Back episode 1, I was clean shaven and had like long flowing locks of hair that I could do that.
I don't know about
years
that,
ago. But... And, 400 weeks later. I mean, I bet we've both done, I would say at least 390 of those episodes, maybe 385. We've probably missed 10 to 15 weeks.
Yeah.
Each.
Yep. I would say that's pretty fair.
So yeah, we've stayed pretty consistent with it.
Yeah, it's, I know there's other podcasts there that are well beyond 400, but for a podcast that only does 1 episode a week, 400 is a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that start podcasts, do it for maybe a month and stop because they're not seeing numbers they want. They want to make money off of it. We just do this to hang out and have a good time and talk about what we're passionate about sports, and hopefully we're entertained to all y'all. And we can't thank everybody, sponsors, listeners, viewers enough for all the support And we're going to keep it going. As far as upcoming changes, I don't think we have any, but always open to ideas that anybody has how we can make this show better for you. So, I mean, when we started, we talked even high school sports when we started. I mean, we've kind of finally found our niche a little bit. And even though we talk about everything, but we kind of concentrate on Big Ten football and basketball, MLB and NFL for the most part, but we still talk about a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. Yeah, back like when we started, we were all trying to like, man, let's get as many viewers as we can. Now I just kind of do it for me, honestly.
Yep. No,
nope, hang out and talk sports for an hour.
Exactly. And we've went through a lot of changes. I mean, we started out in my parents' basement doing it. Pre-recorded.
Like the losers live. We are.
Was it live? Then we went to a live format, and then I got my own house and we did that, and then we went on to the ISC Sports Network, and then you moved to Illinois, and we started doing the format we're in now. So, Daryl also sent a question in. I should have had this with the WNBA questions earlier. Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese, who's going to win Rookie of the Year?
Give me Clark.
I agree.
She's doing some ridiculous things. I mean, she's for, as I said, first rookie ever to have a triple double. Reese is a really good player, it's kind of rubbed me wrong. She continues to try to increase this double streak, and you know they're down 15, and she's like, "Give me the ball." They're up 10 with like 4 seconds left. She's trying to score. Yep. That crap wouldn't fly in the NBA, and it shouldn't in the WNBA.
Nope.
But both really good players.
Yep, I think Caitlin Clark gets it. They are both really good players and needle movers for sure.
Yeah, and it's crazy how many like WNBA players and coaches hate Clark. I don't understand it. I don't know if they're jealous or what.
Oh, there's definitely some jealousy there. Yeah. 100%. A couple more questions here. This one's from your mom, Cindy Muntz. Top three favorite sports movies of all time?
Remember the Titans. I think that's probably on your list.
That's my number one. That's my favorite movie. Overall, so
The Sandlot is just the nostalgic, you know, fireworks going off. Their only night game of the year is just an awesome movie. And then my last one's Moneyball. Absolutely love Moneyball.
Yeah, Sandlot was actually one of mine, but Remember Titans number one. I'm gonna put Sandlot up there as well. That's even a movie if it's on every time I kind of gotta watch it. Third one, those are clear cut one and two for me. So the third one I have to really think. I wasn't prepared. Field of Dreams. I always like Field of Dreams.
That's a good one. Yeah. So yeah, Moneyball is one of those movies where if it's on TV, I'm watching it. It's which doesn't happen very often. There's a lot of Adam Sandler movies that are like that, but as far as sports movies go, yeah, all three of the ones we chose are ones that I will watch if it's on TV.
I honestly think I've only seen Moneyball one time. I liked it, but I've only seen it once. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again.
I absolutely love it.
So let's see here. Daryl Love also put Noah Lyles, 100 meter and 200 meter. Will he win gold in both?
Got to be honest with you. I had not heard that name ever until I read that. So I'm going to say, yes, he wins gold in both.
Yeah. He's the U.S. best chance in track and field to win. Multiple medals, I would say. So I think he gets it done too. And then this one, I'll take the ball on this one. He asked what my thoughts on WWE coming to Indianapolis. They signed a big deal with Indianapolis to have 2025 Royal Rumble and then SummerSlam and WrestleMania sometime within the next 7 or 8 years. Don't know when. Those are bucket list items for me as a wrestling fan. And should be a lot of fun. So it's Pat McAfee effect. He's got he does some stuff with WWE. He has a lot of WWE guys on his show. That's what got the ball rolling. And Indy does big events as well as any city in the country. So
they do.
Whether it's Final Four, Super Bowl, Combine, Olympic swim trials, of course, Indy 500, they knock out of the park. So I think they'll do the same with this as well.
Yeah,
so
we talk about that all the time, and they really do. They're the best of the best at doing that sort of stuff.
Question here from Sean Shriver, loyal viewer of the show. If a time machine existed, what player whose career ended before you were born would you go back and watch play in person? He said a specific event he would and also a specific event he would watch in person. He said it would be the 1903 World Series between Boston and Pittsburgh. He thinks it would have been fascinating to see what the first World Series would have been like from the style of play, the uniforms, umpiring, crowds, concessions, etc.
That's a great question. As far as player goes, Ted Williams, just being able to see him hit the ball. One of the greatest hitters, probably the greatest pure hitter ever, I will say, is Ted Williams. As far as event, I would like to go back and see if Babe Ruth actually called his shot, you know, in movies, you know, time kind of stops and there's dramatic music and he points the bat. But what probably happened was he was talking trash to the dugout and he goes, I'm going to hit it up there. And then he did it. It was probably more anticlimactic than they've kind of made it out to be. But yeah.
I think player would be Babe Ruth for me to go back and watch. Event, I think it would have been awesome to be the Miracle on Ice.
That would have been cool.
Game. Yep. And I think this other question is our last one. I really hope I didn't miss anybody's question. This is from your dad for college sports. The NCAA has made several changes over the last many years. Looking forward to 2030. How will each major move affect the college game for good or bad in each area listed below? NIL, transfer portal, the increasing size of major conferences. What changes do you foresee the college game could make to address unintended consequences?
It seems like there's already momentum to create a salary cap of sorts for NIL. Yes. And that, I think, will happen within the next, you know, six years. Portal will always be there. And I don't really know Portal's how they the worst. It is. I do not like it at all. I mean, we're with our good friend Cameron Screeton, who is an assistant baseball coach at Taylor University. And he says he rarely sees Division I coaches out there recruiting anymore. Recruiting high schoolers anymore, I should say, because they're so focused on the portal. And I honestly don't even have an idea that they could try to stop it because it is free agency. Maybe they go back to you can transfer once with no penalty, but after that, you can't.
I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's just asinine. Okay,
yeah, I want to get the biggest NIL bag I can get from this school, and then the next year I'll get it from this school and this school. Yeah, it's not fun for anyone but the players, honestly. As long as there's massive TV deals and revenue sharing, realignment's going to continue to be a thing. Yeah. I think Notre Dame will join a conference here soon. There's been buzz around the Big 12, potentially.
Which would be so weird because all their sports are in the ACC except football. Yeah, so.
I think the ACC might disband because your two biggest members, Florida State and Clemson, are looking for a way out. And, again, Big 12 mentioned for that. So we might have three major conferences, and other than that, you're SOL.
Yes, it's interesting to see how the schools are going to pay their athletes, too. Mm-hmm. How they're going to divvy up the money and everything.
Yeah, so without making people mad.
Because if they do it correctly, it could definitely slow down the portal a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Maybe that'll help combat it.
We'll see. It's crazy how fast this has all happened.
And the NCAA could have, we've talked about it so much.
Yeah, they could have
been way ahead of the game and they didn't. They just sat on their hands and then they panicked.
They panicked after the pandemic and said, we're going to do this, this, and this right now, bang, without giving a lot of thought. And here we are. We're sitting in it now.
So. And the NCAA might disband themselves.
They might. They don't have much power anymore.
Yeah, very little power.
I think that's all the questions. So thank you to everybody who sent them in. We did it. This is a show we've wanted to do for a long time, pretty much an hour straight of questions, and we were able to accomplish that. So we'll have to do another one of these, maybe at episode 450.
Yes, sir.
Hit me with that birdie or bogey, J-Man.
What player has the most yards from scrimmage in a single season in NFL history?
Asked Eric Dickerson.
Halfway decent guess, but he's not even in the top five.
Of course he's not.
2009 Chris Johnson had,
wasn't he on my radar,
2,500 yards. Then Marshall Faulk in 99, McCaffrey in 19, Tiki Barber in 05, Ladainian Tomlinson in 03. So I now have the lead in birdie bogey. So thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you so much for sending in questions. That was a lot of fun tonight. And we will be back at it next Monday with another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show.